Our new covenant reading will be from Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 23. So as you find your place, please stand for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, except for the priests, also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" Our Old Covenant reading is Exodus chapter 20. Go back to the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, we'll be reading verses 8 to 11. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Thus ends the reading of God's word. All flesh is like the grass, and all man's glory is like the flower. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. What we just read is a much neglected probably the most neglected commandments of the Ten Commandments. Even churches that would post the Ten Commandments on the front door of their church would neglect this commandment. This fourth commandment was written by the very finger of God into a stone tablet. But we see that it wasn't just there commanded. It had been commanded before even that was etched into that stone. It goes back to the very beginning. This is a creation commandment. It goes back to the very beginning when God created heaven and earth. He created everything in 6 days, and then what did He do? He rests on the seventh day, and He sets that day apart as holy, as special to Him. It's part of the creation. With the coming of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, Christ was raised on the first day of the week. So at that time, the day was changed. The Sabbath day was the Lord's day, and it was moved to the first day of the week. And on that day, three things happened in the new covenant administration that we see there. First thing that happened was Christ rose on that day. And that was the day when the church would gather. The second thing we see is at Pentecost. It was on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the people of God on that first day of the week when they're gathered, when they're assembled for worship. And then again, we see go back to the very beginning. And, here's what I want to do. I want to step back to the beginning for a second. We see those two things take place. We see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see the resurrection of Christ. But let's step back to the very first day. The very first day of creation. What happened on that day? God said, "Let there be light." So that first day is now the holy day. It is the Christian Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. I'm not going to say much more about that because that's not really my purpose in speaking to you today. I hope you believe those things. I hope you believe the Scripture teaches those things, that this law is still binding for us, that it didn't go away with the Mosaic ceremonial laws, that it's actually a creation ordinance, that we should keep this Sabbath day holy. I hope that you believe that. But even if you don't, I hope I will be able to persuade you today to keep this day holy, even if you don't believe it, because it's such a great thing. Such a great thing. I was at a conference several years ago, and I was speaking to a man who didn't believe in keeping the Sabbath day, and we were having a cordial discussion. He had come from a background where they didn't keep the Sabbath day holy. It wasn't important to them. The fourth commandment was completely ignored in his church, pretty much. But he had now come to a Presbyterian church, and they were taking the Sabbath day seriously, and they were trying to keep the Lord's Day holy, setting it apart to God for private and public worship. And as we began to discuss, I was trying to persuade him. So we were having a friendly debate, trying to persuade him, yeah, the Bible does teach this. You need to keep the Lord's Day holy. And when we got to the end of the discussion, he wasn't persuaded by my arguments. But he said this, you know what? I keep the Lord's Day anyway, even though I don't believe that God requires me to. Really? I go, we just had this discussion and you keep it anyway? And we had, it was a fun discussion and we enjoyed that fellowship together. And I said, why? He goes, because it's such a delightful day. He had come to that Presbyterian church and everybody around him was keeping the Sabbath day holy. They loved that day. They feasted that day. They worshiped that day. They delighted in that day. And he had grown to just love it, even though he'd not been persuaded theologically that it was the Scriptures taught. And so that is my goal today, is to show you the joy of this day, to show you the joy and delight of God's holy day. And I hope I can paint a picture for you so well, by God's grace, that by the end of this sermon you will say, what a great day. This is the best day of the week. This is a delightful day, and I love it. And we'll make better use of it as well. So let's look at the commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. It begins saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, how do you keep a day holy? What does it even mean to be holy or to keep something holy? Well, that adjective, holy, is attached to many things in the Bible. You have the holy temple. The temple is holy. What does that mean for the temple? Think about that for a second. What does it mean that the temple is holy? It means one thing takes place there. Worship. It's all centered and focused on God. It's set apart to God. It belongs to God. It's His. It's holy. You can't, even though it's shaped sort of like a basketball court, you could not go to the temple and play basketball in it. That would desecrate it. It's not for basketball. It's for worship and worship only. What about the altar? The altar is called holy too. Well, what does that mean? That means you can't have a family barbecue on it, right? It's set apart for one thing, sacrifice, worship. It's devoted to God. You cannot take that and have a picnic out there with the family. And then there's even the incense of the old covenant administration was called holy. It's set apart as holy. So that means you couldn't make that combination of incense and use it at home. It was for that only. That combination of incense is for worship only. And so when God calls the Sabbath day holy, what does He mean? Worship. This is a day set aside for worship. This is a day set aside to God. It's devoted to Him. The whole day, all of it belongs to Him. Not just an hour in the morning, not just an hour at night. The whole thing is His. It's holy. So our fathers in the faith were wise when they answered this question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism this way. Listen to how they answered. Maybe you can. If you can do it, if you've been working on your catechism, here's the young people, here's your chance. Don't say it out loud, but just say it in your mind as I read it. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days. And here's the key part about holiness. And spending the whole time in public and private exercises of God's worship. Except so much is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. So when we sanctify the day, what we do to this day is we say, this whole day belongs to God. I'm going to spend this whole day in public and private exercise of worship. When I'm at home, I'm going to be seeking to worship God, to honor Him. I'm not going to go off and do other things. I want to spend it with Him. So the Lord's Day is a day that you get to spend with God. And if you love Him, you want to spend time with Him. Imagine a man comes to his wife and says, "You know, I love you, honey, and it is our anniversary and everything, and we should spend the whole day together, but I've got something else I'd like to do." Now, after he gets up off the floor, you know, that's just a bad idea. It's not showing love and affection for her, right? She wants to spend their anniversary together with him. She wants to spend that special day with just them together. And any man in his right mind who really loves his wife is going to say, "I cannot wait for that day. I cannot wait to get away with her and spend that time with her." And the same is true of this day. If you love God and if you want to spend time with Him, this day should be your greatest delight. I've got a day where I can't do anything else but worship, serve, pray, study His Word, hear His Word preached, fellowship with the saints, feast. What a glorious day. To be devoted, as the Catechism said, to public and private exercises of God's worship. It's a day to delight in God and to learn to delight in God. It's also a day of rest. In order to spend the whole day in delighting in God, what do you have to do? You have to stop doing other stuff. You have to quit doing all that other stuff. So in a secondary sense, the Sabbath is about rest. Primarily, it's a day that's holy. It's devoted to God. But in order to devote it to God, you got to quit doing the stuff you regularly do throughout the week. And so look at Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8 again. I'll read it. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." So in order to devote the day to God, you have to stop all that other work. And not only do you have to stop working, notice that he's addressing heads of households here. Did you notice that? And he's addressing them, and it's particularly addressing them about the people under their authority. Okay, you're to rest, yes, but you're to make sure your son rests too, and your daughter, and your male servant, and your female servant, even your cattle. So I am letting my cattle rest today. I have 2. And they're at home resting. As a matter of fact, they don't do much of anything but rest. They just walk around and eat and lay around. But they are rested. I am not working them today, if I could. So everybody's to rest. So this addresses all authorities. If you're a person with authority, if you own a business, you need to give your workers rest, because your manservants, your maidservants, they're to rest. That's how you keep this command. You give them the day off. Now, how they use it, whether they will devote it to God, is, I guess, ultimately not your concern. It's you're to give them rest. He even goes on to say the stranger. This is the immigrant, the person from outside. He's not a citizen. He also is to get a day of rest. Don't make him work. Even though he's a foreigner, may not believe in Yahweh, may not want to worship Yahweh, may have no convictions about the Sabbath, he gets to rest too. Do not make even the stranger who is within your gates. They're all to rest. Do all their labor 6 days and then the rest on that Sabbath day. Now I want to turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. If you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 13, there's an incident that happens. It was curious. Nehemiah 13, beginning in verse 16, there were these strangers, foreigners, men of Tyre. They kept coming to the gates of Jerusalem to do business on the Sabbath day. Nehemiah gets wind of it and he's saying, "No, what are y'all doing? You can't do that. They can't be here." So Nehemiah 13, beginning in verse 16, he says, "Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah in Jerusalem." So you have foreigners who have no convictions about the Sabbath day at all. They're just going to open their business on the Sabbath day. They don't care about honoring God on that day or remembering it. And Nehemiah says, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. If you read Isaiah the prophet over and over again, he's talking about, y'all broke the Sabbath. That's why all this bad stuff's happening. You will not keep the Sabbath day, and so God is going to give the land rest, because you won't rest. You refuse to rest. And now these businessmen from Tyre are coming out there, and the Israelites are doing business with them. And see, it says, what are you doing? This is what brought God's wrath on us the first time. Don't do that. Now, I can imagine some of the Israelites saying this. Well, hold it. Nehemiah, you're all uptight about this. I mean, they're going to open their business anyway, right? They're going to open that business. That bagel dealer out there, he is going to open his business anyway on Sunday. What harm is it for me to go do business with him on that day? Right? Why can't I go get some bagels from him? Can you imagine Nehemiah's answer to that? The pagans are going to open their business anyway. Who are you going to do business with? I don't think he'd be pleased. I think there might be some beard pulling, right? He might be grabbing some beards and pushing some people around out there. Nehemiah could get pretty physical sometimes with people who were not doing what they're supposed to do. And eventually he threatens the merchants and sellers in verse 20 who are that are out there. He warned them and said, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. I'm gonna do something you're not going to like. So, no, Nehemiah is not going to justify that. The day is devoted to the Lord, and we don't make anybody work. Manservant, maidservant, even the foreigners who don't believe in the Sabbath, they can't work either. We give them rest. We don't do business with the men of Tyre on the Sabbath either. So now I want to look at how we keep this day holy. It is a great day. We shouldn't want to do business. We're tempted to do business. What is wrong with us? What is wrong? God says, rest. Take a break. And we say, no. No. So how do we keep this day holy? Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 3. We read, 6 days shall work be done, and the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Where do we get this idea that we're supposed to assemble as God's people on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day? I'll use those two words to mean the same thing, the Lord's day, the Sabbath. Where do we get that idea? Was it just something people made up? Well, y'all need to assemble on the Lord's Day on Sunday. No, it actually goes all the way back to this passage in Leviticus. Leviticus 23:3. The Sabbath is a day of solemn rest. And note that word, a holy convocation. It's a holy assembly. We're supposed to assemble. That's where corporate worship came from. It goes way, way, way back to the beginning. So in Israel, people gathered every Sabbath day to worship God. Corporately. It's a holy convocation. Now, if you were far from Jerusalem, you would have to meet in your community. And that's where these buildings were erected. Do you know what they're called? Synagogues. Synagogues. That's where the synagogues came from, because every Sabbath day, every faithful Israelite who remembered the Sabbath day would go keep it holy. And one way he would keep it holy is by gathering with the assembly of the saints. That's what you're doing here. You're in the right place, doing the right thing on the Sabbath day. You are at the holy convocation. That's what we're doing here. You're here and you're doing what's right. Now, these gathering places, synagogues, popped up all over Israel. And almost every time you go to, there'd be a synagogue. But even it began to spread out into the Roman Empire. So that when the Apostle Paul's going around, what does he find on the Sabbath day? People are gathering at these synagogues. And he would go preach in these synagogues. And so that is what we're supposed to do on this holy day. We're supposed to have a holy convocation. That's why we're here. And you know what? That's what Jesus did. Jesus kept the Sabbath perfectly. Now, he was accused by the Pharisees regularly of breaking the Sabbath. But they were breaking the Sabbath. He was keeping the Sabbath. So what was Jesus' practice? I'm going to read to you a few passages. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. What does Jesus do on the Sabbath? He does what he's supposed to do. It's a day of holy convocation. He goes to the Sabbath, which he did every Sabbath day he lived. He went to the Sabbath. And he goes there and he teaches. And then Luke chapter 4, verse 16. What do we find Jesus doing again on the Sabbath? So he came to Nazareth this time. And where he had been brought up, this is his hometown. And as his custom was, you note that? As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So Jesus kept the Sabbath with synagogue worship. He gathered at the holy convocation. And when he did that, when Jesus did that, he was imitating his Father. Because that's exactly what his Father did. His Father rested on the Sabbath day. He labored 6 days in the creation, and then he rested. And that's the whole reason given to us in Exodus 20 for why we should keep the Sabbath. Why keep the Sabbath day? Here's what it says, Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, declared it holy. He sanctified it. So we keep the Sabbath, and when we do so, we gather in holy convocation, we imitate Christ. What would Jesus do on the Sabbath day? He would attend the holy convocation. He would gather in the assembly of the saints, imitating his own Father. And so we imitate Christ as he imitates his Father, and we're here today. A second thing about keeping the Sabbath day, which has been frequently lost, generally people do gather on the Sabbath. Christians gather for corporate worship. But this is something that's been lost. Look back at Leviticus chapter 23, or if you're still there, Leviticus 23. Look at the previous verses to the one I read, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. Did you get that? The Sabbath day is a feast day. It is not a day for fasting. It is not a day for bread and water. It is one of the feast days of Israel. It's one of the feasts of the Lord. It is the weekly feast. This has been lost regularly throughout the history of the church and in Israel as well. They lost the idea and lost the fact that the Lord's Day is the feast day. Now, it was somewhat present in the United States, and it goes back to everybody goes to grandma's and has a big meal, right? That idea, where did that come from? Was that just, well, it's a feast day. The Lord's Day is the day of feasting, the day we gather together and enjoy all the gifts of God. We rest, we worship, we feast. Now, the God's prophets knew it was a feast. And one of the great threats that the prophets made against God's people was, I'm going to take away your feast days. I'm going to take away your happiness. I'm going to take away your Sabbath days from you. Turn to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. This is one of the threats of the prophet for their unfaithfulness. He says, verse 11, I will also cause all mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts. It would be a horrible thing to have your feast day taken from you. What's really bizarre about the American church is we didn't have it taken from us, we forsook it. Hosea says that would be a terrible judgment, but we are too darkened in our minds to see that it's been taken from us and we're under judgment. In Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, the Lord has caused the appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. When we forget the Sabbath, remember the commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're supposed to remember. And when God causes us to forget it, it is His judgment. It is the judgment of God on His church when we forget this great day. And if you properly are getting what I'm going for right here, when you think about someone who doesn't keep the Sabbath, you should pity them. You should say, oh, you poor soul. You don't remember the day. You have forgotten the feast day. You've forgotten the day of the Lord. Oh, you poor soul, come, rest, feast with us, eat, drink, worship God. Come, join with us. It is a pitiful, sad thing when a people cannot find rest. And God's given us a day to rest, and we have forgotten. So I remind you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there is a delightful promise, if you will. If you will keep the Sabbath day holy, God promises us amazing things. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And beginning in verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. This is a long sentence. It's a long conditional statement. A conditional statement is where you say, if you do this, 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 and this, then I will do that. He has lots of ifs. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. And then he finally gets to the conclusion what the reward will be for doing those things. So we'll have to be patient as we work through this. But Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. That's a strange metaphor, turning away of the foot. I think what's intended here is the idea, if you would quit trampling my Sabbath, you quit trampling down my Sabbath, doing your own pleasure, doing your own works. If you'll turn away your foot from the Sabbath, quit stepping all over it. And in the parallelism, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. This day is not yours, Israel. It's not yours. It's not a day for your personal pleasures. It's not a day for your personal entertainments. And if you'll turn your foot, if you'll quit trampling my Sabbath and doing your pleasure on my holy day. And then he goes on to the next thing. And call the Sabbath a delight. Instead of trampling it and being burdened by it, you call it a delight. The Sabbath should be our delight. We say, oh, I cannot wait for the Lord's day. I cannot wait to rest. I want to delight in this day. It's not a burden. In Israel and Amos, he talks about them being burdened on the Sabbath. He goes, oh, when will this be over so that we can get back to work? When will this be over? No, but if you don't do that, instead you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable and shall honor him. You set this day apart. Notice this, the holy day of the Lord is the Lord's day. It's another way you could have said that. It's the holy Lord's day. It's the holy day of the Lord. If you'll honor the Lord in His holy day and shall honor Him, and then he goes on and gives some more details, not doing your own ways. It's not for you, nor finding your own pleasure. It's not about serving your entertainments, doing what you please. If you will not even speak your own words, be careful even what you say. If you will honor the Lord's day in this way, look at the promise. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Now, children, I have a question for you. Now, this one I want you to answer. All right, you ready? You got to answer it out loud, loud and clear. And anybody else who wants to help them can join in with them. Right? What is the chief end of man? What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Did you get that last part? And to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him. So little joy of the Lord. So little enjoyment in the Lord. If you shall honor this day, if you shall delight in this day, if you shall keep this day holy, what does He say He will do for you? Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Do you want to learn to fulfill your greatest purpose in life, which is to enjoy the Lord forever? Keep this day holy. If you will do that, if you will rest from all your labors and put them behind you and your recreations and your entertainments, if you'll set aside and devote the whole day to public and private exercises of worship, give the whole thing to Him, every bit of it. And if you will rejoice and feast before the Lord that day, He says, verse 14, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. It's a beautiful image. Riding on the high places, victorious, looking down upon the earth, riding on the high places of the earth. And He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. He's going to bless you with the land flowing with milk. What was the heritage of Jacob, your father? It was that land flowing with milk and honey. Some of you doubt that if I dedicate this day and devote this day to the Lord, that He will really help me to enjoy Him and do these things. Well, just in case you doubted, look at the very last part of verse 14 in Isaiah 58. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. It's true. I can't help wonder, the state of our current society, the misery of it, is not a judgment on the church, because we will not delight in His holy day. We will not rejoice in His holy day. But I want you to see the beauty of it. It's a glorious thing. God has said, come rest. Come. No, quit working. Stop your working. Get rid of your distractions. Get rid of your internet distractions. Get rid of your pro football. Get rid of all that stuff. Come to Me. Delight in Me. Come, rest from all those labors, all those distractions. Speak to Me. Talk to Me. Worship with Me. Gather in the holy convocation. Get together and have the feast. Kill the fatted calf. Have the feast. Rejoice together. Sit around that table. Love one another. Isn't that a beautiful picture of joy and feasting? We like Thanksgiving Day feast, right? Hey, we have a better feast day. It's a biblical one. It's today. It's the Lord's Day. Set aside this day. It is the best day of the week. It's the day we get to taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And if we'll do this, He says He'll teach us to delight in Him. He'll enable us to enjoy Him. You'll learn to enjoy Him in a way that you couldn't have before and fulfill that great purpose you have. Now, I wanted to end with just some practical applications for us. Someone may rightly ask the question, well, when we have that big feast, it was awfully hard on Grandma, right? Grandma was bearing the bit. She was working a lot on that Sabbath day. How do we get around that? How do we get around having, how do you have a feast day where you don't work, right? That's a little difficult. How do you balance that? A big part of it is preparation. A big part of Sabbath keeping is it makes a people prepare. You got to get all your work done. And you got to prepare for the feast and do as much as you can prepare for that feast in advance. Israel went out in the wilderness. They gathered extra manna the day before. And then God kept it good for them. So that preparation should be done in advance. There should be preparation. And I'm going to argue that it should not be put on grandma or any mom. But everyone should work together for the feast. That's the beauty of our fellowship dinners, too. Everybody brings the food, brings the feast, and we all gather and fellowship on the feast day of the Lord, and we eat and drink together. It's a beautiful day to feast together. And then also, I'm going to give you this practical application. It's called the crock pot. And I don't know if your oven does this, but our oven also can be put on a timer. So those things can be tossed in there and be set to cook at exactly the right time, and then it's ready when you get home from worship. So the crock pot, the timer oven, all that stuff is a great help in keeping. See, all that technology has good purposes, right? This technology, I don't know how old technology the crock pot is, but hey, it can be used to serve as our feast day and make it a great day. So in conclusion, I want to draw it all together. If you love the Lord, this is not difficult. He says, this is our day, me and you. This is our day. Come, spend it with me. And then He promises, I'm going to strengthen that love. I'm going to increase that love. And I'm going to teach you on this day, if you will rest from all your labors, if you will put them all aside, and if you'll devote it to me in worship and in the holy convocation and in feasting, if you'll do these things, which are a delight to do anyway, I'm going to teach you how to delight in me more. I'm going to make you able to enjoy me and enjoy me forever. So let's pray the Lord would enable us to do this. Our Father in heaven, we pray you would stir up our hearts to delight in this day. We would love it. And that you would bless us in it, and we would learn to truly enjoy you, both now and forevermore. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.